Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's the 3-2. Curveball is ripped in the air to deep right field. This is trouble. Harper back looking up at the wall, and it is gone. A two-run homer to the opposite field for Tyler Austin is his sixth of the year. And the Yankees cut into the Nationals' lead. It's now 3-2.
Yankee Stadium or Nats Park? A lot of cheering after that home run for Tyler Austin. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Hour 2 is underway on 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for Nationals baseball. We got tickets, a pair for you, for the Nats and the Dodgers, May 18th. That's Friday night at Nats Park. You can win them right now. If you call in and be the 10th call, you got to answer this question, though, successfully. 800-636-1067. Anthony Rendon homered yesterday. How many home runs has he hit this season? If you know the answer, be the 10th caller. You're going to win your way in with 106.7 The Fan. Tickets are available right now at the Nats Park box office. Get the details online at thefandc.com/contests, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. Jamal Collier is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. He covers the team for MLB.com. So, Jamal, get us up to speed here. It rains came last night. They put the brakes on the game. They'll pick it up today a little after 5, bottom of the 6th inning, and then they'll play the regularly scheduled game at 7 o'clock. How does Davey Martinez navigate this? Do you just start the game with the reliever? How is he going to navigate it?
Yeah, so it'll be the bottom of the 6th when they start the game. Wander Suero had come into the game at the top of the inning, pitch a scoreless 6th inning. You assume, and perhaps, I guess he probably could pitch a second inning now and just kind of be a back-to-back days, but, you know, be pitching two innings in the same game. But, you know, I think it's going to kind of just depend on how it plays out. I mean, he didn't really tip his hand as far as which way he was going with his bullpen. But, you know, it might change. If you take a lead in the bottom of the 6th inning, well, now all of a sudden you've got Kinsler, Mattson, Doolittle kind of to turn it over. If not, if the game stays tied, he might go a different situation. So he's in a little bit, I guess, probably in a pretty advantageous spot compared to the Yankees, who kind of have to start off with a fresh reliever that's almost a starter that they had used a pinch hitter. But, you know, I think it's going to just kind of depend on how that inning goes and whether or not the Nats are up or the game is tied or kind of where it goes from there.
Jamal, I know you guys just absolutely hate weather questions, and so forgive me for this, but I'm looking at the weather report right now. NBC4 is on.
Doesn't look good.
It's so green, occasionally orange. There's some red in there, but it's so. Yeah. The whole thing is rain. What are they going to do now? Because, you know, the Yankees, I guess, have off days in the future that maybe line up with the Nationals. There's a scheduled off day on Thursday already, but it looks like rain all weekend. How are they going to get this stuff in, or are they?
Yeah, so, yeah, the weather looks terrible forecast. I'm looking at the same as you. And like you said, I see some a lot of colors in there that I don't even understand what they mean. But I don't – they're definitely just not clear. So I'm not sure they're going to be able to finish the game from last night, and definitely not sure they're going to get an entire new game in general. So Aaron Boone, actually, after the game, did not sound very – they both have the off day on Thursday, tomorrow, I guess it is. But, you know, Aaron Boone didn't sound very optimistic that they'd be playing on Thursday. Just one, the weather forecast also looks pretty terrible, but the Yankees kind of, I think, are trying to get out of town slash to have some hotel issues that they'd have to do. They have to reschedule. So didn't seem like that game is, they're going to make up a game on Thursday if they have to or have to play still a game and a half or whatever it is. So I think that, you know, this is all speculation and I really, you know, don't know anything for certain, but this would probably be something where the Yankees are coming back here at some point later in the season if they can't get these games in tonight.
The Yankees 28-12, one of the best records in baseball. It's supposed to be at Nats Park yesterday and today for a two-game set before they hit the road. Jamal, Bryce Harper was being asked by the New York media about his future and potentially coming and playing in New York. How'd that go over?
He didn't walk out the door, so I guess that's a mini positive, right? You know, he didn't take the bait at all. It was, you know, an instance where I think he knew it was coming, knew what to expect, and really just kind of swatted away any any kind of semblance of a question that could be, you know, I think a lot of times I thought this season you'd be looking for, there'd be a lot of things. We'd be looking for a sign of what does this mean about how does he feel about this team, whatever. And he didn't even really give a, you know, he was pretty much all cliche, all kind of dismissive of any premise of any kind of question. And I think that, you know, it's kind of just been into the, in line of the way he's kind of approached this thing the last year and a half, or especially the last couple of years, as far as just not not willing to talk about it and kind of saying I'm focused on this year and being a national and leaving it at that. So, I mean, it was an odd kind of, you know, situation to be in when you've got, you know, reporters and writers are, you know, looking for something or trying to look for some kind of answers. And, you know, Bryce kind of just not taking the bait or not being willing to play ball at all on that. But, yeah, I think, you know, if you're a national fan, that's what you want. You don't want a guy talking or, you know, flirting with another team or not. You know, he's focused on this year and focused on being a national right now. And, again, those things will kind of take care of themselves.
Jamal Collier covers the Nationals for MLB.com. Joins us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline at Jamal Collier on Twitter. Jamal, Adam Eaton, it sounds like he's excited because they know what the hell was wrong with his ankle, which they didn't for a while, which, you know, doesn't inspire a ton of confidence. But it sounds like he's put a tentative timetable on maybe, I don't know, playing baseball again for the Nationals, hopefully without those weird limps and hitches in his giddy-up, huh?
Yeah, you know, well, first he kind of finally came clean, I would say, about how much the ankle had been bothering him just basically from this whole process. And it reveals also that, you know, in addition to the knee injury and stuff too, that his ankle was also shattered and that was an issue too, that I think don't think they had really previously revealed. And honestly, you could watch Adam Eaton and watch the way he was running or watch the way he was kind of just gingerly moving about. And something just kind of always seemed off. You know, he tried to downplay it and say, I always run like an old man or whatever. But, you know, I mean, he's probably in a pretty bit of considerable pain through the early part of that season. And it's, you know, it makes what he did in those eight games even more remarkable when you think about, you know, probably how limited he was and just how he was not really able to move as well as, you know, he normally was. So he was excited. He was upbeat that now that this problem is finally fixed, you know, in his eyes, and he can start, you know, getting back on the field and really start working toward it at 100%. You know, I think that, again, he's from the beginning of this been a little bit overzealous as far as when he wants to get back on the field and how quickly he wants to get back on the field. You know, he pointed out about 6 weeks, which is about around the timetable. But I would, you know, just based off everything that's happened with him, I think that now they might be in a position where they're saying, look, we want to make sure this is 100% and that we don't have to do this again, where we get you in the lineup and you're playing well, but you can't really move around and we should be resting you, but we want to play you. But and just have to kind of do that kind of tap dance. I think they want to make sure once he's off the DL, he's good to go. He's off the DL, and he's kind of ready to go. So, I mean, I would say if you can get him back sometime before the All-Star break, that's probably best case scenario. And 6 weeks puts him right around July 1st. And I'd probably extend a couple weeks there and say that they may take their time on this one. But, you know, at least a positive here that it looks like the ankle thing is somewhat behind him in the sense that now they've fixed the issue. And he can kind of continue to you know, progress, get better, and move forward. And when he's back on the field this time, be 100% and be on the field for good. So, you know, again, I think we're still a little bit ways away. I think they're going to take their time with this. But so far, it's probably the you know, best bit of positive news we've had from Eaton probably since he went to DL a couple weeks ago or a month ago now.
Jamal Collier of MLB.com here on Grant and Danny. Max Scherzer slated to pitch tonight for the Nationals.
Yeah.
Do they have enough say, or is it more Major League Baseball about starting this game? I would hate to see him throw an inning or two and get burned.
Yeah, I don't even – I always forget the rules here that once the game starts is in MLB's hands or before the game. I don't remember exactly how that works.
I feel like I'm wrong about this. I feel like before the game it's up to the Nats, right?
I think that's true. And then once it starts, it's an umpire / MLB call. I don't know exactly, which is why when people ask me to regulate things, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of looking at the same thing as you guys. But, yeah, I think they're not going to want to burn Max. And I think that's a thing that they're done, especially depending on how much bullpen you have to use if you get to play the first game, how much you have to use to get through there. Now you're talking about, you know, you have to use Kinsler, Madsen, Doolittle in game one. You might not be able to use – probably not going to use all three of them in the second game. So they're going to be very cognizant of making sure if – Max steps on that mound, that he's capable of pitching for an extended stretch and going, you know, 7, 8, whatever innings that he, you know, he can go. So I think that, you know, they'll be even more extra careful with that in mind, and especially because I think there are some mutual off days in the future and such, that I think that, you know, if they start this game and Max goes on the mound, it's because they'll be pretty sure that they can get through an extended period of it without kind of being interrupted and burning their best pitcher.
Jamal, very quickly before we let you jump, got about 30 seconds here. Kathleen Kennedy announces that they're looking at a Lando Calrissian spinoff movie. Your thoughts?
I just forwarded my check to hold my place in line for 2020. So if you want to come join me, I've got an extra ticket probably booked up. So I might just rent a whole theater out. I'm very excited about this.
Should I wear my Jedi Obi-Wan Kenobi Jedi robes or get a new costume where I could like be the Han Solo with the vest and you could look like Lando? What do you want to do?
And look like Lando. Yeah, we have some time to think about this, but I think that might work. We might get Grant in too, is to dress up as Chewbacca if he wants to tag along.
Huge Star Wars.
You might not know who that is.
Oh,
you might not know who that is. You know, you're not invited. That
isn't that Chewbacca?
That's your invitation.
Is that Chewbacca?
Yes,
I think
and no.
It was like a wounded Chewbacca. It was.
All right. That's the best I had for you. Jamal, thank you, buddy. Great as always.
Thank you, dude.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Read Jamal Collier at MLB.com, and you should already be following him on Twitter. He's at Jamal Collier, Collier. Next on Grant and Danny, D'Angelo Hall was in studio yesterday. How good was he, by the way?
Terrific.
If you missed that hour, thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio for you. It's all archived and available. But he talked about retiring. It sounds like he is going to, even though he hasn't made his mind up formally yet. If he steps away, like we expected he's going to, who's going to take over his role as that leader for the Washington Redskins who kind of runs the locker room? Next on G&D.
You know, when I officially announce my retirement, I will know what I'm doing next.
That was D'Angelo Hall in studio with us yesterday. A great hour of radio available for you at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. D'Angelo Hall is a leader. D'Angelo Hall is a guy who the kids on the team come to with questions. When his announcement was faux made, I guess, on his retirement a couple of days ago, you saw a lot of Redskins come out well-wishing him, saying, I'll miss you. Guys like DJ Swearinger saying, thanks for all the knowledge and the information and everything you passed on to me. He also gets guys together. Someone's having an issue with another player. He'll be the one to chat
with.
He's
the broker, yeah.
Exactly. Who's going to replace him in the locker room if he steps away? The offensive leader of the team oftentimes is the quarterback. Kirk Cousins, over the last couple of years, as we saw, grew in his role as a leader, if for no other reason than you're there really early, you're there really late, you work really hard, you put in all the time and the energy and the money into your body to stay on the field, and guys respect that. I don't know if they loved the fact Kirk Cousins is never going to curse. Kirk Cousins is going to have, you know, Bible study at his house, and some players are going to come, and others are going to say he's not down to hang out and go to the club or whatever. In every locker room, you have different personalities.
If we're going to put good nutrients in our body, here are some seaweed chips and right. You know, some big things that I made.
It was funny. A Redskins player, I asked him about Alex Smith recently. I said, what do you think, Alex Smith? He said, dude, he cusses. I said, oh, really? They said, yeah, it's awesome. So, like, that was a funny zing, a funny line about the new quarterback.
Funny.
Like, I heard him curse already. You know? I didn't know what they were saying. They're like, it's really cool. And their point was
they never heard
Kirk cuss. But I bring this up to say, you've got Cousins out on offense. You've got Hall who's going to be out on defense. We haven't really talked about this, but if you want to talk leadership, Ryan Kerrigan is a quiet dude. He's not going to give a speech. Not that you need someone to give a pep talk. I guess people could say DJ Swearinger is the de facto leader. Danny, I find him to be way too volatile to be a leader. Like, he is a guy that annoys coaches because he comes out and calls out practices. And, you know, one minute he's tweeting about the defensive line sucking, and the next minute he's tweeting the defensive lineman saying, I actually like you guys, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just kidding, LOL.
I would say that you can't tweet crazy things and be the leader of a bunch of people, but we know in the country anymore in 2018, you can pretty much tweet whatever you want no matter what your job is.
You kind of do that.
However, I don't really view Swearinger as kind of what I'm looking for, which is that, maybe it's the Sean Goldson or that Terrence Knighton type, what D'Angelo Hall served as. Maybe the answer is just Alex Smith. But in the past, we've had guys tell us it's really hard to be a leader when you're new to a team. So can he be the guy who runs the locker room in his first year here?
It's hard. I mean, you can sort of step up into roles as time goes on. And you can, hey, let's have some camaraderie. Let's call everybody together for the passing camp, which is now expected of quarterbacks, by the way, it seems. You've got to pay for everybody to fly to some warm weather city and everybody runs routes and we all feel good about it. But you look at it this way. This roster in terms of veteran players that have been around, right? The oldest player on the roster is Alex Smith, by the way. But guys like Vernon Davis, Colt McCoy, Tony Bergstrom is on the roster, Landro Skandrick. Any of those guys jump out to you as, yeah, sure, absolutely, natural-born leader. He stands up, everybody gets out and follows. Not to me, right? I mean, it's not being critical of those guys, but Vernon Davis, an incredible dude, well-rounded, versatile, good football player. But is that the guy that when you're grinding away in a the second two-a-day of August and everybody's dog-tired, is he the one picking everybody up, making sure that you're finishing each sprint and each rep? Is he the guy making sure the rookies are awake in the film room? I don't know. I do know that D'Angelo Hall was that guy. And sometimes it's the thing that we don't see, and even reporters that are there every day don't see, because there's hours away from the spotlight. There's hours away from Sundays where that's when leadership comes to fruition, when it's guys are goofing off or guys are half-assing it in a meeting or not watching film the way that they should or whatever the heck it is, right? Your preparation isn't up to speed. And the veteran that has been there and knows what it takes is able to make sure the slack doesn't fall. I don't know who it is. The long-tenured studs that have been here in Washington for a while, Trent Williams is the name that comes to mind. Is that his personality? You know him better than I do. I mean, you cannot question his toughness. You can't Correct. Question his ability on the field. That's not what's up for debate here. But is that the guy that's going to call the team meeting? Is that the guy that's going to air the grievance? It's not, right? He is I'm going to work. If you want to follow me, that's great.
Yep.
And I'm great at what I do. You'd be well served to follow me because I'm one of the best players in the NFL. But I don't know.
I'm looking at the roster, and maybe you can say this is overrated, right? I'm sure there are people who are very analytical with numbers who say, what are you guys even talking about? Like, the best players are going to make plays, and that's what really matters. But let's run through the list, okay?
Let me say something real quick to that point. What matters more, having great players or having good leaders? The answer is great players.
Of course.
The Redskins had some good leaders while they weren't very good. Like, guys like Ronaldo Wynn are great leaders, but I'd rather have a superstar. But the point is, if you're in a okay bucket, which we all kind of seem to think the Redskins are to some varying degree, that little tipping point can help you get over the top.
So let me go back and double click. If I had to say there's a leader on offense, it is Trent Williams. It is. I think Williams is so beloved by the players for his toughness. I also have seen him get in guys' faces before.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he had that Hogs 17.0 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Week with the Washington Post coverage last year where those guys came out and just grinded away with him.
Working out really hard, yeah.
That's what a leader does. So on offense, I'd say he's the guy. It helps that he's the best player. Doxson, no. Crowder, no. Richardson, brand new. Laval, no. Roulier, kid, no. Sheriff, kid, no. Moses, not on that level yet. Jordan Reed, no. Rob Kelly or Darius Geis or Chris Thompson, no. I think Thompson is a leader by example for sure. And I think he's also one of the most popular guys in the locker room. On defense, Jonathan Allen, too young, no. Daron Payne, rookie, no. Stacy McGee, not on that level, no. Preston Smith, kid, no. Mason Foster, well-liked, but I'm not sure. I mean, Zach Brown is probably going to have to be the defensive leader. Pro bowler, been an all-pro, has led the league in tackles, played out of his mind until he got hurt last year. Kerrigan, exceptional leader by example, but I just don't see him as a rah-rah vocal guy. In the secondary, it's D.J. Swearinger, I would say. Josh Norman's weirdly eccentric.
Yeah, I want you to address Norman as to why you don't think it's a great fit. No one's questioning the ability.
Well, it's
right?
time. I mean, it's his third year here, and the dude makes $15 million against the cap. Mm-hmm. So he really should be a leader. I think he kind of is. But, again, I think there's a volatility there. Not in the sense of he's out there doing things that he shouldn't be. He's acting right off the field all the time. But he says crazy things. Like, to me, leaders can't be... What's the word? I'm volatile. I keep coming back to
like, this is a bad example, but you can't have Dennis Rodman be the leader of your basketball
exactly.
team.
Exactly. DJ Swearinger is going to send out a tweet on a Monday after a game about like one of his teammates blowing a coverage or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't love that. And With Norman, you just never know what he's about to say. I want you to be a little bit more of a CEO.
I remember years ago when Lenny Dykstra was on the telephone with the Junkies explaining his theories about how investment works. And it was this, like, convoluted, jarbled thing that led to him to invest in a company, and it, like, worked out for him, right? That's how I feel about Josh Norman when he's talking about football and coverage and all sorts of things. It makes sense to him.
Yeah.
He's got it, but he's got his own language, kind of, when he's talking about how to do things, why to do things, where to do them, and who to do them to, and everyone else is kind of like, okay, that's cool. You go ahead and do that, Josh. I'm going to listen to what the coach has to say because I didn't understand that. That's the feeling I get.
Let me make this clear, too, about Josh Norman. I think what he's doing right now is showing brilliant leadership because he's taking part in this Dancing with the Stars show. He's taking no, I'm not doing a bit. He's taking red-eye flights back to Ashburn overnight to be at these OTAs. I mean, he's on set in L.A., gets on a plane. I was texting with someone who works with him real closely the other night. Mm-hmm. They were getting on a plane at, like, midnight to come back here so he could be at OTAs in the morning, be at the program in the meetings. Then he was going back to basically dance for the next couple days overnight. So, yeah, that is a thing that you don't have to do for an activity that is not mandated. 800-636-1067 is the number. If D'Angelo Hall does retire, who's going to be the de facto leader of the Redskins locker room? I vote Trent Williams, and I'd like to see Josh Norman try to take that mantle defensively, although I would think Zach Brown would be that guy. If not him, maybe Mason Foster. I'm just not sure if he's the caliber of player sometimes it takes to kind of run a side of the football. Who's your guy? Who's your name?
Trent's the name that comes to mind first on offense. On defense, there's some veterans. Guys like Ziggy Hood, you know, have been in the league a long time.
And so they can, Ronaldo and Reagan Upshaw, kind of.
They can lead position groups, but I need that Pro Bowl caliber player that can kind of say, all right, let's go. I'll be the lead goose here.
Let's take calls on this next. 800-636-1067. Double play at 11:45. We're getting back into the Caps and what went wrong last night at 12:18 on Grant and Danny.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks much, as always, for making this show part of your day. At noon, we're going blitzing all around the Beltway. Teams in town you care the most about. 12 o'clock hour. What went wrong for the Caps last night? Why did they lose? And the NBA draft lottery played out. We will discuss whether or not the draft lottery is still worthwhile. Should they just give out picks based on records? They do this to avoid tanking, but there's more tanking than there's ever been before.
There's never been more tanking than right now, and they have a system in place designed to prevent tanking. Oops.
We're looking for a leader in the Washington Redskins locker room in the post-D'Angelo Hall world. He was on the show with us yesterday, and in talking about his retirement, he's not ready to commit, but it certainly sounds like he's not going to play again.
Yeah, yes. There's still a chance. I haven't closed the door completely yet. It's still cracked a little bit to where I can get in there if I need to.
Right.
But for the most part, and I think that's actually what I said. For the most part, I think I'm done. But, you know, when I officially announce my retirement, I will know what I'm doing next.
And that's kind of what he's waiting on now. Does he want to go to the front office? Does he want to get into coaching? Does he want to do national television? He's got plenty of options. I say Trent Williams takes over and the guy that runs this locker room. The one problem with that having been the number of suspensions for marijuana usage, I guess.
The only
fact
thing,
that
right?
At times, that irresponsible decision-making maybe calls into question whether or not you could be a leader of men. But I've been in that locker room enough over the years and for four straight years on the beat around Trent Williams every step of the way, there are a few guys more respected and well-liked in that locker room. So I think he could be the answer. Who are you going with?
That's got to be the one seed here. A great player in Trent Williams who is at the top of his game, has been here a while, who's had some slip-ups to show you that he's mortal. You know what I mean? The guys that are too good to be true, sometimes people roll their eyes at it. But he's dealt with stuff. He's overcome some things. Think of being at the Pro Bowl and having the guy throw the glass bottle at him or whatever it was. He's had some incidents in his past. He's overcome all that, and here he is lining up every day. So that's probably the best answer is Trent Williams. But looking on the defense, I think Zach Brown's a good nominee. I'm hoping that DJ Swearinger sort of tones it down a little bit and a little bit more company line, and maybe he could be a leader as well.
David's in Bethesda. What's up, David?
Mama Lucia, Mama Lucia, Grin, chicken parm. All right.
Hey, did you hear Danny's impression of you earlier today?
No.
Give him an impression.
It's not good.
No, but just try it.
All right. This is hard on the spot. All right. Grant, it's David in Bethesda from Mama Lucia. That's where I'm going. It's not good.
That wasn't really good.
I know it wasn't good. I shouldn't have done
it
on the spot.
Okay. Go ahead, David.
I think I'm much better at me than Danny is at me.
I agree with
that. You've got 53 of the luckiest guys in the world on a team. Do you really need a leader? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But my point is, why can't the coach be the one that does all the discipline and the firing up and the getting them together? Look at Belichick and John Gruden. John Gruden doesn't need a player to modify or to tell a player, hey, you're out of here because you're not doing the right thing.
Well, John Gruden's been 500 for a bunch of years since he won his Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I don't know how many good speeches Bill Belichick's given. He's outsmarting a lot of people from 1-4.
There's just a difference between the coach and player. There's a difference between management and player. You need internal leadership from a team where they've got to be the ones to go do it. You do. Every good team has it. Now, you occasionally get the 86 Mets where they all hate each other's guts and they're drinking and smoking cigarettes and probably doing some cocaine between innings and everybody hates each other and they somehow still pull together and win. But for the most part, you get all the personalities. Everybody thinks something different. Somebody unifies them. Somebody pulls them together. Coaches' messages go unheard without it. I'm telling you, it's a thing that every good team worth its salt has ended up having. You can't just have leadership and win. You've got to have it in addition.
Also, coaches are not in the locker room. I don't know if people know this, but coaches don't go in the locker room. So after every practice, before every practice, after the game, Jay Gruden will walk through on his way to the coach's locker room sometimes and pat a couple guys on the shoulder pads. But there is a element of, you know, needing to babysit yourselves a little bit. It'd be the equivalent of like if a teacher only is in the room right when the bell rings, they walk in, and when the bell rings, they walk out, and still getting prepared and getting out all the stuff you need and getting your review and your study session done and all that. Someone's got to run that before the teacher gets there because the coaches are not involved in the not-on-the-field things. Kyle, Fairfax, what's up?
Hey, guys. I like to think of two leaders, one for offense, one for defense. For offense, I just think that if any player could be, like any NFL player that comes into that locker room and says, man, if I were 33 or 34 and I had the career that Vernon Davis had, I mean, he's a leader in 32 locker rooms by the example he sets. He never gets in trouble. He's intelligent. And look how good he's been at his age. He's not just a tough guy. He is a performer. So I think he's a good one. The default leader of the offense. For defense, I really hope it's Josh Norman. I wish it could be DJ Swearinger, Danny, but he's kind of crazy. He's like the adrenaline leader on game day. That's about it for him.
Between the lines from 1-4, that's your leader. But in terms of like the midweek guy who's going to counsel someone up, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I think that's where Norman can step in. He's super intelligent. He seems like he communicates well. He just needs to want to do it, but this is also a huge year for him. Breland's gone. They're asking him to lead young corners and make them better and be the leader of that cornerback unit. So I hope he extends that to leadership through the rest of the defense. It's a huge year for him.
Dan's in Fairfax on the Fan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Dan.
Grant and Danny, radio gods.
Very nice.
I really
enjoy it. I'll take that and run with it.
I really enjoyed listening to D. Hall on your show yesterday.
He's awesome, man.
I would have asked him about the Skins-Falcons game where there was an altercation on along the sidelines, and then Mike Smith of the Falcons started yelling at him, and all these Falcons walled him off, and no Redskins came to his defense. But Vernon Davis is my pick. He may not be very vocal, but he's intelligent, and he's a veteran who demands respect in the locker room. I have followed him since his days at Maryland, and I just think he's articulate and just an awesome dude. But,
I do,
thanks
too.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
thank you, Dan.
He's a sharp guy.
129th all-time in receiving yards, by the way, Vernon Davis. And he will climb that ladder this year. He could easily get to the top 100 with a pretty good season. That's a good one. It's hard, though, because there are a number of guys in that I would consider. It's probably not fair to Vernon Davis's overall career, but part of the rank and file, where if Vernon Davis isn't active for 16 games, the Redskins' record won't be influenced that much. They'd miss him, obviously, right? But if they don't have Trent Williams for 16 games, oh, my God. If they don't have Jordan Reed or Jonathan Allen or some of their better players. So Vernon Davis, good player, helpful, obviously, right? You almost need your leaders to be that star class who are also doing all the exact right things. Vernon Davis does all the exact right things and will help, certainly. But that role filled by D. Hall, someone's got to fill that vacuum. And it could
Blitz at noon. We're going to tell you why the Caps lost at 12-18. Double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Every day at this time, a segment carved out for you, non-sports, what's going on in our lives.
Let me take you back, GP. Before GP was GP, I was just 4 years old. 35 years ago tonight, in fact, on NBC, Motown 25 was the television special put together commemorating 25 years of Motown. It was actually an attempt to kind of revitalize what was flagging because music had started to change. The electronica of the 80s and some of the stuff that we actually loved, whether it was bands like, you know, Journey, some of the hair metal, Def Leppard, et cetera, would come along and kind of change music. Motown, looking for continued foothold, put on a television special produced by NBC. Among the highlights, Lionel Richie and the Commodores. I get steamed up for Lionel Richie. Marvin Gaye gave a wonderful speech about black music history before performing his incredible song, What's Going On? So, so good. Diana Ross and the Supremes reunited with their hit, Someday We'll Be Together. Smokey Robinson reunited with the Miracles. Just awesome. A great night in television. 34 million people watched it live. Now, that's a lot even in today's numbers, but when the population is around, according to my best research, 220 million as opposed to 300 million, which is where we're at today in these United States, that's that much more massive. The highlight, the biggest deal of the night, though, my friend, world megastar fresh off Thriller, which had only been out for 4 months and was shattering sales records, is Michael Jackson. Now, singing to a voice track, they agreed he probably couldn't do everything he wanted to do live after singing with the Jackson 5, which they had to rehearse, and they did their reuniting and everything else. So MJ decided I was going to choreograph my own thing. I will do this dance, et cetera, singing along to the voice tracked version of Billie Jean. The highlight is in that clip when he moonwalks, and it's the first time a megastar, the real huge amount of America, has seen it. It has been on television before, a version of it. A few years before, on the television program Soul Train, that a fraction of the ratings had, a couple folks did that dance. Michael Jackson saw that, had them come and teach him the steps to make the moonwalk happen. So Jackson became known for the moonwalk, something that had been out and about on street corners, be they in Harlem, the Bronx, Brooklyn, etc. He brought that to mainstream America, and America flipped out. That moment when he moonwalks on Motown 25 changed a whole lot of stuff. And you know how I feel about Michael Jackson, the greatest ever. People forget how great that dude was. But everything from
people forget. There's a lot of people that remember.
People don't appreciate it like they should. Whether it was music videos, what to expect at a live concert, choreography, dance, performance, and everything else, that dude changed everything. And it was that moment 35 years ago tonight, in my humble opinion, that kind of launched us into this new generation. I think a few movies have done that for cinema. Godfather, you think Star Wars, and a couple others. That, to me, one of those live performances that is indelible, and it left its mark on United States history. Great night, Motown 25, 35 years ago tonight.
This is from the Daily Mail. A Russian woman is claiming to be the oldest person in the world, but says her upcoming 129th birthday is nothing but a punishment.
Yes.
You heard that number correctly, by the way.
129?
129.
Yeah.
Her name is Koku Istambulova. She is from Chechnya. She says that she has not had a single happy day in her entire life and has no idea how she has managed to live this long. Can you imagine not only living that long, but being miserable every step of the way? Istambulova, who shuns meat but loves fermented milk, believes it simply is God's will that she's going to live to see 129 next month. The claim that she is about to turn 129 is made by the Russian government. They have internal passports, which show her date of birth as June 1st, 1889.
Come on.
Dead serious. If correct, she was already 27 when the Russian Revolution unseated Tsar Nicholas. She was 55 when World War II ended.
When it was over.
55.
Do you think she was thinking right then, I'm halfway there?
And you remember way back, like, when I was born, when the Soviet Union collapsed a generation ago?
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
She was 102 at that time. She's 128 now, apparently.
She was 102? That's unbelievable.
Is that a show? So, here are a couple of quotes from her, and this is where it's not as fun anymore. I see people who live long going in for sports, eating something special, keeping themselves fit. I have no idea how I have lived until now. I have not had a single happy day in my life. I have always worked hard digging in the garden. I am tired. Long life is not all God's gift to me, but a punishment. She's articulate and able to feed herself and walk, but her eyesight is failing. Shocker. She's been around for almost 130 years. She's like a sea turtle. I mean, what is this lady doing? During her long life, she lost several children, including a son who died age 6. Relatives say she's her only surviving daughter, Tamara, died 5 years ago, aged 104. During her long life, she lost several children as well. This lady is 128 years old.
And of course, by the way, it's the most war-torn place that we have.
Right.
Like, Chechnya. 96% of Chechnya is rebels in Chechnya. That's I don't know correct. What they're rebelling against, but it's always bad.
It's like machine guns on the back of trucks.
Oh, it's just so tough, and there's like one piece of bread.
I pose you this question. My answer is so easy, by the way. You get to touch a button right now. One says yes, one says no. You get to live to 128. What are you hitting?
Any qualifiers there? Like,
no
am I, you know,
you're rolling the dice.
Am I invalid Ivan for the last 30 years? Am I on life
dice.
Support?
No. You're not. This is not just a machine. Like, you are walking around and functioning, not at a high level.
Right.
But you're living. 128.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I'll definitely take it.
I'll take that.
I'll hit that button if you say 400. You know what I don't want to do is die. I don't want to die.
I get that.
Death is permanent, and it lasts literally
until
the end of time. It lasts
so long. It lasts so long.
You ever want to freak yourself out? Think about the fact that when you die, you never get to live again, as long as the planet goes on. Think about that.
Mm.
And then have no anxiety. Try that.
Think about dudes. Like, I've gone to funerals or whatever, I'll look at, like, gravestones, right? Like, for whatever reason, you do that. Your eyes wander, and you look at the different headstones of people, where it's like, this person who lived and died, like, they were buried here in 1936. 1950, and you're like, that person lived in this completely different era and has zero idea about what's going on right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's so weird. That's just so odd to think about.
Dar said, you should just tell people you welcome the warm embrace of death. I don't. Whatever the opposite of that is, Dar, that's what I do.
Is that a cakesyism?
I want to
live that from?
Until I'm 900 years old. I do.
900 is a bit much.
Nope, 900. By the way, I'm not even sure that this is... We probably shouldn't even go this route, but I don't think I ever want to be taken off the machine. I think I just want to be alive by way of something being plugged into a wall until the end of time.
I'm not even sure I want to live to 90, and you're talking about 900.
So let's say you're at 899, and the doctor's like, Grant, I've got some bad news.
Right.
You've lived 899 years. So
on one kidney, by the way, which is why I'm going to die in my 40s.
You've set every record that we've got for living. You're so old. You've seen so much changes. And I'm not even in this room with you right now, by the way. I'm blinking on my own holocron system, and that's sending signals in directly into your mind.
I've seen no Redskin Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm exactly right. The DC still hasn't won a championship.
The Caps got to one conference final, though, after this one.
Well, it's DC's now the new mega city with Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Charlotte,
turns
out. the DC Charlotte Baltimore team is not a Stanley Cup champion either. But anyway, you now have a terminal disease at $8.99,
yeah.
And you're like sad about it. You don't just go, "What a life."
I'm mortified. I'm so nervous that it might end. You know why? Death is worse than everything. It lasts until the end of time, and I never get to see anyone I love again in like the on the planet, on life, in life, on this planet. I would prefer to live. I would like to live.
I get that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's get to your Beltway Blitz and talk about Ryan Zimmerman coming on the show at 1:30 when we come back next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.